Blog Talk Radio.
Have reached Moon, Mu, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, a.k.a. Moon. Our guest this evening is Captain Rob Lee of the Milagro World Forum, and he is a good friend. Rob has written many e-books, and he lives the life that many of us dream about. He lives on his boat, does not punch a time clock, and has various enterprises on the internet. Captain Rob's latest book is The Pirate Lifestyle, www.piratelifestyle.com. And it is a great book because I read it last night and I really loved it. And I keep thinking about how I might best follow what he recommends in his book. And that's what we will discuss tonight. Before I bring Captain on the phone, I want to bring Moonvine on, a.k.a. Joan Adams. Hi, Joan.
Good. Hello, Kate. How are you?
Great. Good to hear you. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good.
And we've got a busy chat room already.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Let me just bring on Rob here. Hello, Captain.
Ahoy. How are you?
Ahoy. How are you
Ahoy,
doing?
Ahoy, Captain.
Yeah, I'm really. Hey, how you guys? I'm good. I'm real good.
Great. It's we're real excited to hear about how you know you spend your day and living the pirate lifestyle. Your book is really great, and it's something I think anybody who is into doing the internet marketing thing should read and get a hold of that mindset that you describe in your book.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate it. It's I think it's a good mindset for anybody. It's not just somebody that wants to live on a sailboat or do exactly what I'm doing. It's just a good general how to live your life and not get caught up in all the noisiness of the world.
Right. Slow down.
There you go. That's right. Slow the pace of life down and have the freedom to do what you want to do when you want to do it, instead of waiting, hoping that day gets here, sometime down the road.
Exactly.
That's how you got there. I want to know how you decided to do it. Did you just walk away one day?
It just, I just kind of had like that, aha moment. And I do mention that in the introduction, I think, in the book there. But, I can't really put my finger on it, looking back. But, I guess generically people would call it a midlife crisis or something like that. But, I finally said one day, I felt like, remember the old Dunkin' Donuts commercials where the guy was going to work and leaving work at the same time? And I just said, this is just crazy. There's got to be a better way to live your life. So and that's where the lifestyle thing is. It really, for me, it isn't even about the sailboat per se. The sailboat is, I guess, pardon the analogy, but it's just the vehicle. It's more the lifestyle of being in control, being self-sufficient, independent. I actually started out kind of homesteading and ended up, this way. So it isn't my love isn't necessarily sailboats and sailing. It's about being on my own and the, you know, the self-sufficiency aspect of it.
Well, you were in the corporate world for a period of time, weren't you?
Right. Yeah. I was actually only in corporate America for a real short time. I don't play well with others in that environment, and so I actually only was in truly a corporate employee for about 3 or 4 years. I've pretty much been on my own my whole life, doing my own thing. So I grew up in a small family business, and you know, right after high school, I went to college, and then I graduated college with my bachelor's, and then I did join corporate. I actually had just small jobs because I was going to live up. I was actually in northern Wisconsin at the time, and I was going to live, you know, quote, a simple life. And I ended up, I had two jobs at that time, and I was literally changing in the back seat of the car from one job to the next. So after about 6 or 8 months, 9 months of that, I said, this isn't quite what I had planned. So I joined, corporate America, and I worked for a big Fortune 200, I think, you know, a big, big company. And I was, you know, doing pretty well there, but, corporate life wasn't for me. I didn't, the politics and playing by the rules, and it wasn't my way. So I ended up going out on my own. And so I've been on my own, you know, since my 20s.
Right. I would think that, and Joan, don't you agree that just listening to your story, there's a lot of people who would take heart in the fact that it is possible to break free, because not everybody is happy. I mean, I'm sure there might be somebody who is happy working in this corporate environment. But for the large part, I think people are kind of hoping or praying for an out. And what you do is provide an answer that it's possible.
That's true. And I mean, and again, there's nothing wrong with having a corporate lifestyle. I'm glad there's guys like Michael Dell and Bill Gates and, you know, people like that. And all the people that fit into that world. I mean, we certainly need those people. Not everybody can do exactly the same thing. So it takes everybody. The point is to be able to do, you know, what you want to do, not just being caught up in the greater system. So, you know, you could do what I suggest in New York City, you know, in suburbia, in the country, in the north, in the south. It's just about being in control of your life and able to do what you want to do when you want to do it. So I try to lay out the steps in a logical sense in that, you know, like an idea that just jumps into my head that you see on the television all the time, and that is something as simple as credit cards. You know, and people say all the time, well, you know, there's no way I could live without a credit card. Well, I haven't had a credit card for 5 years, and I guess I'm doing okay. So you can live without credit cards if that's what you want to do. But our system has you believing that you've got to get addicted to those things, and that would just keep using them. So that's just one example, I guess.
Or even just
think that. Yeah, go ahead, Kate.
Nope, go ahead.
That with the economy the way it is, that more and more people are going to be looking for that lifestyle.
Yeah,
and that's true. You know, and now is actually a perfect time to reevaluate. Because that does bring up that, you know, the analogy there of, there's what's a Helen Keller quote of there not being any security in life. But, you know, it's having a corporate job, having a house or whatever, if you've got a huge mortgage on it, those things aren't security. know, look at all the people at General Motors getting laid off and things like that. So, you know, it is now's an absolutely perfect time to sort of step back and you know, maybe take a couple of weeks off or whatever and really think about what it is you want to do with the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think it was Pat O'Brien who mentioned that Joseph Campbell had, during the Great Depression, had just slowed down for a period of the period of years that, as long as it took for the Great Depression to come and go, had to reevaluate exactly what we're talking about. Then he came up with his mythic vision after the Great Depression was over, and then he really took off. But the whole idea being that he saw all of that coming down, you know, that just this crashing thing happening, and he just sort of turned his back on it and contemplated his own life and came up with his own script, if you would, you know, just something, his own play, his own life vision.
Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's,
yeah.
And that's it. It is just, it's the mindset of it. You know, do you see the glass half empty or half full? I believe Hewlett-Packard started during the Great Depression, I believe. Bill Gates started Microsoft in one of the bad recessions, FedEx. I mean, you can just start naming all kinds of, you know, big companies that started when everybody else was saying, you know, that's a stupid thing to do. Not that anybody necessarily has to, you know, my plan isn't necessarily to do one of those things, but, you know, even on a, you know, a, your own personal scale, you can do all of that.
That's right.
I think one of the biggest revelations of my life was when it finally got through my head, and I'm retired. I'm an older lady now, but when I finally realized I wasn't going to graduate from life, you know, it's like you think, oh, I'll do this until, and I'll do this until, and the until is now. And the time that makes the dreams come true is now.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I mean, that's excellent. Because, right, we live in the moment, and we do. I mean, we all do. I mean, I do that, too. You know, I catch myself saying, you know, I'll do this until, or I'll, you know, as soon as I finish with this step, then I'll be, and there's some truth to that. You know, you could look at life's like a chapter book or something like that, and you do go through chapters in your life. You shouldn't feel badly that you've, you know, wasted time doing something because you decide you want to do something different. Everything's, you know, a learning experience, and every day is a lesson in life. So yeah, the learning, schooling thing is a great analogy.
It is. Let me just tell people the call-in number. That's 347-205-9200 for Moon, Moo, and You. There is a caller, there was another caller in the line. I'm sorry. They must have decided to. I mean, if they want to come back, please do. We would love to talk with you. Yeah, I think it's all process, and whatever people need to figure out exactly how to march to their own tunes and to their own music, and that is something that may not come right away. But what I think is so cool about you, Rob, is that you have figured out what it is that you are and what you want to do. And so, I mean, I know you're not telling people to do, you know, go out into the, and buy a boat and do what you do, but what you are an example of is somebody who has found what it is that makes them happy. And that is a beautiful thing.
Well, thanks. And that, you know, what that really comes down to is, you know, keeping your eye on the objective, you know, what you're looking at, you know, what your goal is, and not get caught up on all the obstacles in between you and that goal. And just saying, you know, that you're just going to do it. That,
right.
You know, you're not going to accept that failure is not an option, kind of a thing. And whether, you know, if you're going to, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people use the LO, you know, the law of attraction kind of thing and that, but, you know, something like you want a car or you want a house or you want to go on a vacation, you know, a small lifestyle change kind of thing, and you just implant that in your mind, and you just keep driving towards it, and not let you know, little things get in your way. Here's a quick example: I'm on a forum group for people that live on sailboats, as a matter of fact, or boats, and there was one couple. They're kind of disappointed because they, you know, they've been into an obstacle when they're going to have to postpone moving onto a boat for a couple of years. And I said, they happen to live in Utah. So I go, well, suppose you're in Utah with your family and you've decided to get in the car and drive to Disneyland down in California. And you're driving down the interstates and you come up on a bridge closure and you can't continue going down the road. You know, do you turn around and go home and say, well, I guess we're not going to Disneyland? You know, you got all the kids in the back seat or whatever, you're going to figure out a way to get there. And so, you know, we're constantly going to be, you know, make your plans in pencil kind of thing, or God laughs because life's what happens to you while you're making plans. But, mm-hmm. you know, you've got to have that vision at the end that where you're going to, and maneuver yourself around the obstacles that keep dropping in front of you.
Right,
and that's what I just do that. I've done that. I don't know if I've been fortunate that I've been able to be goal driven like that in my life, and to just see what I want and then just blindly pursue it.
Good point. We have a Amanda Goldston is on the line, and we have two other another person too. So let me just bring her on.
Sure.
Is this Amanda? Is this Amanda?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I just thought I'd come and say hello. And
thank you.
What a brilliant show this is. Just listening to the discussion and listening to Captain Rob. And I think just a couple of things to add in is some of the points you've made really, really relevant about people kind of saying, oh, I'll do this until, and when I've done that, then I'll change, or I'll do my lifestyle, or I'll do what I want. And sometimes people end up actually in a very fortunate position where life almost kind of makes that choice for them, whether that is through health or maybe a job loss or something like that, where they can then actually sit back and design that lifestyle. Ours was through education because we'd had a lot of problems with our children in school and made the choice to take them out and home educate them. And from that, we designed a whole lifestyle around that. And I look back and think, well, in some ways, that was a brilliant thing that happened to us. But for other people, it's almost kind of, well, why wait until there's a disaster in your life before you plan your ideal life of what you really want to do? And it doesn't necessarily require huge amounts of money, because I think often people think, oh, I'll design my ideal lifestyle when I've got some money, when I've got this, when I've got that. And often, as I'm sure Captain Rob will tell us, it doesn't actually require huge amounts of money to be able to live a life of fun and joy and pleasure and everything else. And so I just come on and say, what a brilliant show. It just kind of completely, I've just agreed with every word you've said so far.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
That's okay.
And that's where your plan for the day comes in, right?
Absolutely.
Amanda. Your dream life.
And designing your... I started out this a while ago with just a very simple sheet of designing my ideal day and just thinking about what would be the ideal day from when I got out of bed in the morning to when I went back to bed, and just started putting some of that in. And a lot of it was very simple things, sort of just having fun around mealtimes instead of upset. And we found a lot of the things we put into the ideal day didn't really cost any. That was what was most surprising, because I'd always kind of thought to live my dream, to live my ideal, would require loads and loads of money. And actually, surprisingly, it hasn't.
I think that that's a very good point.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
that.
I love that.
That business of planning your day and planning your day and
your perfect day.
Your perfect day.
I worked real hard on that for a while, Amanda.
Did it work for you?
Like that
Yeah.
But good way to think.
So that's just kind
echo,
of my thought.
An echo, I think.
Yeah.
From
is that
your
me?
Computer,
from your
Amanda.
Computer.
Is it
Amanda.
Me? Oh, probably is actually.
Just turn your computer volume down,
your computer
and,
volume
and we won't
down.
Hear it. And we won't hear it.
Let's turn that down. Is that better?
Now. Yeah.
No.
There we go.
Somebody else's.
Fascinating.
So just my thoughts there.
We love that.
We
thank you.
Thank you, Amanda.
I seem to have lost the sound altogether now.
Amanda, I'm going to actually mute you.
Okay.
Okay, so I think what Amanda's point there about that it doesn't take a lot of money to live the life of your dreams, that is so cool.
It really is true. You know, Napoleon Hill, you know, said, you know, start with the tools that you have and, you know, from where you're at. And there, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. But it really is so true that, you know, you can do what you want to do, whether it's traveling, you know, just having quiet time at home with your kids, you know, eating meals at the table or playing a card game, you know, something that's low-tech today, just, you know, the quality time instead of quantity. And, you know, it really is possible. You just have to make it happen, though. You've got to take that action. You've got to, you know, carve it out in granite and say you're going to do it. And, you know, not let other things say, well, we'll do that next week because we don't have, you know, time tonight or whatever. But, yeah, you can, you know, whatever designing, whatever lifestyle you want to design, it doesn't take, you know, a lot of money to do it unless that's the kind of thing you want to do. But if you know, if there's a will, there's a way. I mean, think back when we were all younger, like high school or college aged or whatever, and we didn't have any money at all, and we all had a lot of fun just, you know, figuring something out to do. Everybody piling
sure.
in the car and going swimming or something or whatever it might be. You know, that's just becomes an excuse to stay in neutral.
That's right. Well, we have several callers on the line. Let's just see if we can reduce an echoey sort of phenomenon here. Just a minute. Good evening.
So good to-
Hello? Another thing that people might need to do is press 1 to get on the call, but I'm not sure about that. Seems like that doesn't always work out.
I think that's just to notify you that somebody wants to talk and that they aren't just listening in, but I'm not sure either for 100%.
Not sure. And then we have – go ahead.
I was just going to say, but I think that when the listener presses 1, it gives you a little alert so you can say, hey, they want to talk, as opposed to just being just a listener.
And then we have an 801 area code. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Great.
This
Who is
Insightful
it?
Nana.
insightful Nana.
Yeah.
Oh, ahoy, Kathy.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Oh, how wonderful.
Hey, Rob, that accent you have, it sounds like I'm talking to my daughter-in-law. They're from up in that Wisconsin, Michigan area.
Yeah, I don't have an accent.
Oh, you have an accent.
I was born in Chicago, so I've got that. Wisconsin,
and my
relatives are from Wisconsin, so yeah.
Yeah, you've got that nasally long, yeah, you've got an accent. Hey, Rob, before you went on to the ship, Hello?
Yeah.
Hello. Oh, my God.
What happened?
I don't know.
Yep. That was interesting.
Yeah, that was a little different, wasn't it? Before you went on to the ship, where were you living? Were you living in the Maine area?
I was in Maine, yep.
What were you doing in Maine?
Running a business, working, just living a regular, typical American, you know, job, cars, toys, kids, house, life.
Yeah. What type of a job did you have before you went on your boat? What was your job?
Well, I was self-employed. I had a small business.
I see.
No.
I see. I just, at one time I thought maybe you had been in the military.
Nope, never been in the military.
Never been in the military.
No, I missed out on that festival. I was just young enough that it ended. You know, the year I turned 18 was actually the year the draft was repealed. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I missed out on that.
Yeah, well, that's okay. how long have you been on your boat?
Just about 4 years now.
About 4 years.
Yeah. Oh,
and so
yeah,
you've done you're doing all of your business from your boat. Is that correct?
Yep. That's correct. Yeah.
How frequently do you go ashore?
Not very much. We're mostly in the marinas, and we just if we decide to travel from one place to another, then we go underway. But yeah, we don't just go out and boat around in the ocean for a day or two and then come back.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, what are the
guys?
Yeah.
I was just going to say you have acquired a lifestyle for yourself that we could all agree is similar to Rob's, in that you are doing exactly what you want to do.
Well, I'd say so. I've always been an entrepreneur type of thinking, I think. I've never been one that has been very excited to working with another company or working, even though I did for quite a few years. I worked for a craft company. I designed products for the craft and gift industries. What kept me there is that in some ways I was independent because I was royalty-based. And so what I did, I mean, it was independent. I paid independent taxes, even though I did work with this firm. And actually, they took 10% of my royalty fees to pay for my mediocre wages that I got by working there. So for many years, I paid them to have a desk and work there. The advantages of working in that environment at that time was that I was surrounded with other designer minds, other creative kinds of minds, and sometimes that's easy because you just kind of feed off of each other. I think the hardest thing, a decision I made, was to come home and freelance from my home. I think that the thing that I do miss is physical interaction with people. I don't know how Rob feels about that. Sometimes I still get to where I'm feeling real stagnant. I think being on forums and on Twitter and other kinds of social media has helped that a little bit, but I still don't think there's anything like meeting somebody or being involved with somebody on a one-on-one personal basis. Rob, how do you feel about that?
It's true. You know, it all depends on a person's personality. But, I mean, I'm kind of a loner sort of a guy. But I do, when I was doing the corporate America thing back in, back in the early 80s there, because I graduated in 79. So, yeah, in the early 80s when I was doing corporate America, being in college and in the schooling and all of that, having like-minded people around, sort of a mastermind group, you know, where you can bounce ideas off and feed off of each other, certainly is fun and energizing. You know, to make an analogy, it's kind of like buying a weight machine and putting it in your basement and, you know, working out all by yourself as opposed to going to the gym and having friends around saying, you know, one more rep kind of thing. It's so that's true. And it is, you know, on the boat, I do have to, you know, it's motivating myself to, you know, to do whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing that day. But, you know, that's hopefully if you're doing what you're truly passionate about doing, you know, then it isn't a job, so to speak. You know, and some days I just don't feel like putting on the internet or whatever, you know, doing what I guess would be my work with my books and things, and I just go fishing or something like that. Then the next day I you know, am really motivated, and you know, I might put 10 or 12 hours in.
I think that's what's appealing to me. That's appealing to me is the flexibility. If I have grandchildren that I want to go and into a program, or I want to stop for a few minutes and go out and work in my yard, I have that flexibility to be able to do that. And then I can come in and I can work until 3 o'clock in the morning if I choose to do so. So I think that's the advantage on home-based businesses, that you do have the flexibility, and I've always enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's definitely the big plus is the flexibility, you know, the freedom flexibility component, the right to be able to just pick something up or drop something on a moment's notice and go in a different direction that is necessary at that time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without having to ask permission.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, without having to ask permission. I think now, Kate, you're still nursing, aren't you?
I am. And, you know, I get a great deal of satisfaction from patient care, but I'm not very happy with the corporate reality of the hospital. And it seems like nobody else is either. The doctors aren't tremendously happy. Nurses are all waiting for the end of the shift. But what I like about it is the patient contact.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's kind of, for me, it comes down to the fact that somebody else can do that too. And I would miss it. I could probably do some volunteer work, like at hospice or something, because I really like that kind of life and death kind of stuff. But in the end, I can feel that I'm moving out of it. The thing that's always holding me back is the technological nightmare, in my opinion, of putting things online and stuff like that. But I just have to plow through it because you guys are all helping me. You know, I can ask you all questions and you help me. So I'm no longer going to use that as an excuse. Rob, I wanted to know, how many books do you actually have that you've written?
Let's see. I've got probably about 5 that are significant. Yeah, and that's it. It's the, you know, rinse and repeat sort of thing. My first one was about, which has been out just about a year, and it's similar to the Living a Pirate Lifestyle book in that but it's geared specifically to moving on to a sailboat, you know, for somebody that specifically wants to go in that, you know, that exact direction. And it's, you know, it kind of lays out the steps that we took to get there. And I released that about a year ago, and oh my God, I worked night and day on that thing for like, that's my dog. I worked night and day on that thing for about 2 months. And
right.
I would print it out, and I would want every sentence perfect. And I went through all the same stuff. You know, how do I get it on the website? How am I going to do PayPal? You know, all of those technological things. And they do just kind of become excuses because it's, you know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and it's easy to make a mountain out of a molehill. But once you get it out there and do it, and once you've got all those steps figured out, then you can just turn around and do it again. And just, you know, and that's the multiple streams of income to get on the, you know, the internet side of it, is that, you know, once you've mastered a system, it doesn't have to be the system. It doesn't have to be the greatest system. You know, you can just drive yourself insane with one shopping cart and ClickBank and AWeber and, you know, all the different toys that are out there. Just figure out how, you know, one way to get the stuff out there. You can always make it better at some time down the road. And then just, you know, figure out what works for you and just do it over and over and over again.
Well, that you just answered one of my problems is that the whole idea between ClickBank and shopping cart. I was really going to put this thing I'm writing right out on ClickBank, which I think I will anyway. And rather than change everything out of a Weber over to one shopping cart, that would be just ridiculous. I've been with a Weber now for years. So it's too bad they don't have a shopping cart, but that's just tough. They don't, so what the heck. And ClickBank
right.
ClickBank really isn't bad, I don't think, and they've been in business for a long time, and they have a track record that's pretty good. So
now, I'm pretty satisfied with AWeber. I use AWeber, and I'm not anxious to change either.
AWeber is definitely the state of the art for autoresponders. They're definitely, you know, the top of the one. You can just use PayPal with AWeber.
That's what I'm using. I'm satisfied with that. It's simple,
yeah.
And most people don't have to take credit cards.
You know, the big negative to PayPal, which is what I'm doing also, the one, you know, people say, well, what's the bad thing, is there's no way to do affiliate programs. You can't have other, you can't put up, you know, you put your product up on something like ClickBank, and then you can say, you know, anybody that's a ClickBank member, you know, you sell my product and you get 40% or 60% and then it virals through the system. Obviously, you're on your own when you're just listing products on, you know, I just list them on my site, and I, mm-hmm. being on the forums and various things, you know, I just try to drive the traffic to my site. But I will say, I don't have it in front of me, the other day I did find an affiliate software program that looks really cool, and you can use it for free up to 50 affiliates, and then at that point you have to, you know, to pay them. So, you know, having 50 people be affiliates. Mm-hmm. And it supposedly manages all the, so I could just load that onto my website. So it's, maybe that's something similar to like what Pat's doing, Pat O'Brien on his, you know, with his forum.
Well, y'all answer me a quick question.
Program.
When you do that, when you use AWeber and PayPal like that, then AWeber automatically sends the product, or do you have to do that by hand?
You would do that on yourself, on your site. You would have your product on your site, you know, on a hidden page, and you set up the PayPal button so that when people complete the transaction, you know, they come back to that page. And it's probably, because I know we've discussed this point with using AWeber with PayPal, and, you know, time flies when you're having fun or drinking rum. But it's been within a year or so that you can there's a way to add in AWeber, you know, to your PayPal so that you automatically, you know, sign the people up and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I think somebody mentioned that somewhere along the line that they would be PayPal would have a thing like shopping cart where when people signed in or when they bought your product, then they automatically went on your list.
They do have that with AWeber. And if you go to PayPal, and probably if you just type in AWeber or something like that in there,
okay.
They have great. They really have pretty good tutorials over there. Sometimes if you call them and you happen to get a nice person that's willing to be chitty chatty with you, you can get, you know, questions answered, and other times they're a little curt and they'll just kind of say, you know, talk to a web designer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
are you talking about PayPal now?
I'm talking about PayPal, right.
Yeah, because AWeber has the greatest customer service that of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was talking about PayPal. But it's a PayPal, you can kind of think of it like a widget if you want to get your mind around it, but it's something that you add into the code, and you have to. It's a little bit tricky. You got to go back and forth with the mail to get it set up so that it'll pick it up. Mm-hmm. But it is. It's
and then
very
how do you
doable.
Market? If you do
well,
it
then
that
you're just
way, then
you're on your own. You're marketing on your own.
How are you marketing? Twitter?
Well, I use Twitter. I'm on forums. That's basically it, just getting it out there
articles.
That way.
Articles.
I'm sorry?
Articles.
I write in magazines. Mm-hmm. I put articles out on the, you know, any just the way you can spread yourself around out there.
And you're right here, right now. Don't forget, this radio program,
yeah.
I believe, you know, even though there may not be a lot of listeners right now, we actually do have this program on iTunes.
There you
and,
go.
I just have to figure out the link. but I just wanted to say, though, on that wonderful Pat O'Brien forum, that Rob and Insightful Nana Kathy, you two are some of the most helpful people. I mean, there are a lot of other helpful people, too, but you guys are right there with answering questions and helping so many people, and I just want to take this moment to thank both of you.
Did post Insightful Nana's site just because I know it by heart, but Rob, if you'll give me yours, I'll put it in the chat room.
Sure, www.piratelifestyle.com.
Great.
Thank you, and it is in.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get off here so some other caller can get in before the time's out, but it's been nice talking to you, ladies and gentlemen.
You are wonderful. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Indeed.
You bet. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, Kat.
Bye-bye. I just want to remind people at this moment that the call-in number is 347-205-9200, and that is Moon, Moo, and You, the collective wisdom. So I think that, just thinking about what we've been talking about tonight, we've talked about lifestyle, we've talked about simplifying the life, your life. I think that's another thing, maybe we didn't use those words, but I think that is what we've been talking about, is simplifying life, getting rid of credit cards, and another thing, getting rid of a bunch of junk that is lying around.
Right. You know, being on the sailboat, that's it. Because it's our material things. It's kind of cliche to say it, I guess, or whatever. But you know, they become like chains. You know, instead of us owning our belongings own us. And I talk about it. I think I talk about it in the Pirate Lifestyle book. But you know, one of the things I had my vehicle payments on my cars was like $3,500 a month. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, what in the hell am I doing? You know, I can only drive one car. What do I need four of them for? And, you know, and then you've got, like, the cable TV with 3,000 channels that you never watch.
Right.
And, you know, landlines and cell phone lines. And, you know, you can just, it's so easy to just buy yourself into, you know, to slavery to the system.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, you end up, you're writing out, you know, 60 checks a month for stuff that you don't have the time to use. And so, it, you know, yeah, it's downsizing is a very liberating sort of thing when you start giving your stuff away. And, you know, whether it's Goodwill or family and friends or even, you know, selling it on eBay or whatever it is, it's, you know, it's a great feeling to not have all that material stuff just chaining you to your life.
Yeah, I guess you can get rid of things on bullet, you know, just post it on bulletin boards and or it, as you said, Craigslist is a good one, huh?
Yeah. That's one of the biggies now. That was kind of young 4 or 5 years ago when I was doing it, but yeah, that's like a, you know, internet yard sale kind of place. So eBay is actually getting kind of difficult now. They've raised their fees and things, and it's so if you're going to sell stuff kind of local, Craigslist is a good way to go. You know, if you have something that's particularly valuable that it's easy to ship across the country, then, you know, eBay might be a good place. But it is, you know, just start going through your house and just, you know, if you haven't used something in 2 years, you don't need it.
Well, I guess my problem is books.
I hear that a lot, you know, with people wanting to move onto the boat, too, kind of thing, is what do I do with all my books? And it is, you know, that is certainly a challenge. And I had that problem solved for me because we moved down to the New Orleans area, and we packed everything up, you know, when we moved aboard, and then unfortunately Katrina came through, and so my boxes and boxes and boxes of books, you know, disappeared. They bit the dust. So, you know, and again, looking back, you know, I've obviously survived okay without having them, but I'm pretty excited. I've actually been drooling on the computer keyboard over that, you know, like the new Kindle too.
That's a great idea.
I mean, there's nothing like holding a book in your hand and flipping through the pages and, you know, the smell of it and everything like that. But boy, that Kindle too, you know, you can put something like 250,000 books in the thing or some crazy, insane number, and it's a size of a pad of paper. It's you know, that's definitely a way to go.
Well,
you can,
you
know, and
me too.
It's tied into the internet. You get you know, magazine subscriptions, newspapers, all kinds of things.
Oh, gosh, mm-hmm. Cool.
I had asked somebody because my thing is with a book, I like to underline, especially if it's something I'm studying. I need to highlight and underline. And they were saying that even with the Kindle, you can do that.
They're pretty flexible. Yeah. So if there's
hold a book.
There's the kids growing up today, Xers and Yers probably don't, you know, see it the same way. But when I'm writing my books, you know, on the computer, I have, you know, laptops, and, you know, I start out, I kind of rough draft it out and I expand it, and every so often I have to print it out on real pieces of paper,
mm-hmm.
so I can,
mm-hmm.
you know, and hold it in my hand. So I just cannot edit on the computer. I've got to have paper in my hands with a pen or a pencil and draw lines and arrows and scribble words and that. It's just, I just cannot do it on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just part of what was available when we learn to grasp everything, I guess,
I guess, because I can't, it's like I can't think until I get it printed.
Right.
You know, now I can think into a keyboard to write, but when I get ready to edit, I've got to print it and look at it. And like you say, make arrows and
circles
yeah.
and all kind of marks all over it. Yeah.
I've come to the point, though, where I can actually read e-books online without copying them out. But
wow.
I do copy out some of them, but like, for instance, I think that's a pretty big jump for me to be able to just read a book online like that. Our generation is just not just not into that.
Right.
As you pointed out, it's just that we're used to holding books and the smell. But I wanted to point out, too, that I have a subscription, which I am now going to let go because I didn't read every magazine that came in, but a subscription to Writer's Digest. And one of the
mm-hmm.
things they said on their cover and one of the articles they have is that e-books are really up and coming, huge. And so I think whether we know it or not, because we're right in sort of the middle of it all, that what we're doing is up and coming. And
yeah,
we should just
I have that feeling.
Yep, we should
I did not know that had been
doing.
Stated, but yeah. Because this next generation, Kate, they're not going to be hampered by the desire to hold a book.
No.
You know?
The new ones coming up, the Xers and the Wires or whatever they're called. I was actually just reading an article the other day. I read way too much more than any sane person should read. But I just read all the time. But I was reading an article, I believe it was in Entrepreneur magazine, as a matter of fact, the new issue, and they were comparing 45 and up. You know, they called them baby boomers, but they used 45 and up, and to the young people, and they had a little pie chart. But of the people that, you know, we would call kids today, they do 51% of their stuff on their cell phones.
Oh, that's right.
You know, they don't have landlines. They don't even use the internet much anymore. They just do everything on their cell phone. You know, that's their entire universe. And so, you know, they're not going to go to libraries or even do things online anymore in the conventional sense, or watch news on television. So, you know, any way they can, you know, as all these apps come out and that to get stuff on their phone. So short articles, I can certainly see where that would be. You know, you want to do something, you know, we're going to go water skiing this weekend or whatever it might be. You know, they're just going to look for something online that they can just look at in their phone. They're not going to go down to the library and check out a book on the subject. So because it's all that instant gratification, and that's the technology. That's you know, they're all. I just think texting is foolish. I just don't see it, you know, myself. But you know, the kids, they just do it all the time. So,
spelling is going out the window. You know, spelling is not used anymore.
I even have Kindle on my iPhone.
There you go.
Very cool.
Yeah, when it turns the pages and that. Yeah, so. But I think, the e-books and the internet is just, well, we had a little joke about me getting on the phone here, you know, on the radio today, is I just take the internet connection, even the way I live on a sailboat, I take the connection for granted. I know at times I might be without it, but I've planned. And yesterday at the marina that we're at, they something foobarred on their internet, and the Wi-Fi went down about 4:30 p.m. yesterday, and it was down all evening and all night. I was up there talking to them. I finally had to get in the car and drive into town and find a Wi-Fi hotspot so I could get the phone number to call into, because I hadn't written anything down or printed it out. The internet is... You know, I just look everything up all the time. Google is my friend. It's odd.
You have
how
a Mac
it's changed. I have a
you
PC.
Have a
PC-er. We have Dells and Toshibas and Acers, but yeah, they're all PCs. I've looked at the Macs. I've played with them. I certainly like Apple's technology, but I'm just a little too tight with my money. I cannot justify, you know, their cost. But then the people that love them say, you know, that's not really an issue that for what you get. But I just have a hard time. I just can't bring myself, for what I do with being on the Internet and word processing and stuff like that, for my use, the PCs are fine. You know, they work great.
Yeah. It's a learning curve for me. I had my first e-book I put up, my first and only at this moment, was done with the PC, so that now I'm learning different ways and that my computer crashed at the end of 2008. So I lost everything, and then, so it's a whole learning curve, and actually it is a beautiful machine. I mean, I have two Macs now, and of course the iPhone is a Mac too, and it is seamless. But it's a learning curve, and I learn something every day about how this thing works. It's a technology that there's so much in this machine that I don't know, that it's kind of staggering. But I'm learning. that's what we're doing. We're learning, aren't we?
Well, that's it, learning every day. And I, you know, to me, I always kind of joke and say, if I ever could go back in my life, my one regret is not learning foreign languages. I have enough of a challenge with English, to let alone, you know, try to learn French or Spanish or something. But I'm pretty computer language ease. That's what I, you know, computers were pretty new back in the 70s when I was in college. And, I mean, jeepers, when I was in high school, we still used slide rules and stuff. But I picked up the computer thing, and right after, when I left corporate America, the first thing I did was I actually wrote program for, I was actually at the big company Abbott Labs, for you healthcare people. But
yeah.
And I worked in their clinical trials, you know, their new drugs. Like I worked on Hytrin and stuff like that. But I wrote the code for the programs in the big computers for the stuff that they sent to the FDA and the clinical trials and that. So I'm computer speak, control S and R, and all that lingo-y junk is just like speaking English to the next person. So I pick up all that stuff.
Well, you do know another language.
Well, that's what I mean by computers, right.
That's,
but all the jobs
and
controls stuff. Yeah. So, because I know I do that a lot of times. When I'm copying and pasting stuff, instead of, you know, I'll do control C, control V. It's just quicker instead of right clicking or say, you know, and stuff like that. But I had an Apple IIe, I think it was, back in the early days of Apple, and when you know, MS-DOS and even you know, Windows, or that, none of those things even existed yet.
Right. That's a whole different world.
Yeah. But the point, you know, is to just make a decision and then move forward with it. You know, that's
right.
The gist of what you've been talking about and what I've been talking about is, you know, we've talked about a little bit of the specifics of ClickBank or AWeber or whatever, but I certainly don't want, you know, the goal for me today is for people to not get hung up on all those details, to just, whether you have a PC or a Mac or whatever, you know, look at that goal that you're trying to get to and keep life simple and don't let the obstacles stop you.
And
just, you
people
know,
will
keep
help
chugging
you.
Away.
People
right, and there's plenty
you.
Of people. People, you know, and that's the same thing in the liveaboard, you know, in the boating world. You know, there's a million people out there bend over backwards to help with your question. That's one of the greatest things with the forums, you know, on the Internet or Twitter or that now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just ask a question. It's almost overwhelming, the, you know, the assistance, the help that you get.
I know.
Rob, well, I have a quick question coming from the forum. Betty wants to know a one sentence from you advice to those of us who want to make change.
A one sentence advice for those that want to make change. It's just, you know, just do it. Just pick a little goal, you know, start small, and, you know, you don't have to say you're going to sell your house and your cars and quit your job and you know, all your belongings and you're going to move on a sailboat 2,000 miles away from where you started. You know, just pick out something simple. You know, say you're going to go through all your kitchen cabinets and throw out all waffle makers and yogurt makers and, you know, things that you don't use, the material things. You know, so you're going to cut one of your credit cards up and throw it away. You know, just pick a simple project and then just don't take no for an answer. Just follow through and get it done. That was right. Longer than one sentence, wasn't it? That was a run-on sentence. lots of commas, sentence. But no period.
I like it.
Well, guys,
great advice.
We've actually reached the end of our show, if you can believe that. It's been a
wow!
Really,
I can't believe
so
it's been a whole
fun.
Hour.
Yeah,
I was like, what are we going to talk about for 60 minutes? But, huh?
It's the fastest hour of the week, every week. Absolutely. And we thank you so much for being with us tonight. That's great. Lots
that was
to
a
think
blast.
About, too.
Well, good.
We love
lots
it.
To think.
And, of course, anybody, you know, stop by the PATS forum, you know, or my website there. I'm, you know, I'm more than glad to answer questions for folks. So.
Well, we appreciate your tremendous helpful spirit. Thank you.
All right.
And,
so do something.
And, yeah, do it. Do
take,
it.
Take
right
action.
On.
Just do it. Yeah.
Okay. I want to play Klaus Jensen and Henrique Burke Abu's music at the ending of this program. And that would be, if people love this music, they ought to go to www.musicformotherandchild.com. And if they need a good night's sleep, they should go to sleepsecretaudios.com because Klaus and Trapper Sherwood have gotten a great sleep program together for all of us who can't sleep. I shouldn't say us because I can sleep. And good evening to everybody. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Wonderful.
Oh, you're
thank
very
you.
Welcome. Arr.
Arr. Enjoy.
Thank you.